Hello and welcome to the MDS podcast, the official podcast of the International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society. I am your host, Sara Camargos, from the Federal University of Minas Gerais, Brazil. We have an honorable guest today, Professor Sun-Ju Chong, neurology professor at the Asian Medical Center, University of Ulsan College of Medicine, Seoul, Korea. We are going to discuss his recent paper published in the Movement Disorder Journal, Mitochondrial DNA Copy Number as a Potential Biomarker for the Severity of Motor Symptoms and Prognosis in Parkinson's Disease. Welcome to the MDS podcast, Professor.
Thank you so much for inviting me, and thank you so much for this opportunity.
Of course. Let's start with the basics. Why study mitochondrial DNA copy number in Parkinson's disease, and how does it reflect mitochondrial health?
Because Parkinson's disease is a heterogeneous and common complex disease. We don't know the exact etiology yet, but the genetic factor is very important for the development of Parkinson's disease. Over the last two decades, we focused on the nuclear DNA variation, and we found that more than 10 mutations related to the familial Parkinson's disease with high effect size. And we also found more than 90 genetic variations related to the sporadic Parkinson's disease. But there are still missing heritability in the genetics of Parkinson's disease. So we expanded our scope of genetics. We investigated other aspects of DNA, which is the mitochondrial DNA. As we know, mitochondrial dysfunction is very important pathophysiology in the development of Parkinson's disease. And we are specifically interested in the mitochondrial DNA copy number, because mitochondrial DNA copy number refers to the number of copies of mitochondrial DNA present in a cell. And we think that the mitochondrial copy number is an easily accessible proxy for mitochondrial function. So we investigate the mitochondrial copy number using a peripheral blood as a biomarker for Parkinson's disease.
What approach did you choose to assess this mitochondrial DNA copy number, and why did you choose such a method?
There are several methods to assess the mitochondrial copy number, and we choose the whole genome sequencing method. Previous study used the quantitative PCR, but it has some limitation because it selected a certain number of genes or a certain number of genomic area to be investigated. But whole genome sequencing covers all genomic area. It has very comprehensive research to investigate our genome. And we calculated mitochondrial copy number based on the observed ratio of sequence coverage between mitochondrial DNA and autosomal DNA, because each cell contains two copies of autosomal DNA. We extracted reads from the autosomal regions to calculate mean nuclear DNA coverage, and then we mapped read on the mitochondrial genome and estimated coverage. We called it as mean mitochondrial DNA coverage. We calculated the mitochondrial copy number rather using the calculation as 2 by mitochondrial coverage divided by nuclear DNA coverage. And we thought that we represent the mitochondrial DNA copy number in a whole genome in a single patient.
Yes, true. How was your cohort selected?
Yes, we selected PD patient from our outpatient clinic, and we selected the health control collected also from our outpatient clinic. And we used the 405 patients in PD, our outpatient movement disorder clinic. And also we collected samples from the health controls who gave us consent to involved in this study.
Yes, I thought you were very thoughtful because you select that patients that didn't have mutations on several genes linked to mitochondrial DNA too. This is fantastic. What were the key outcomes of your study?
The main result we found was mitochondrial DNA copy number levels were significantly lower in patients with Parkinson's disease compared with healthy controls. And we found that there was a negative correlation between the mitochondrial copy number level and motor severity in Parkinson's disease patients. And more importantly, we found that there was an association between lower mitochondrial copy number levels and higher risk of developing dementia in patients with Parkinson's disease. However, we did not find any significant correlation between mitochondrial DNA copy number level and late motor complication in Parkinson's disease.
Such as a levodopa-induced dyskinesia, right?
You're correct.
Very interesting. And what do you think that are the limitations of your study?
We used 410 patients with Parkinson's disease and 200 health controls. So that study sample number is relatively small and which has inherent limitation because of the small sample size. Secondly, we included patients with variable disease durations as study enrollment. But we addressed this limitation by analyzing a subgroup of early-stage Parkinson's disease patients. And finally, we measured mitochondrial DNA copy number levels at a single time point, potentially missing changes in mitochondrial copy number levels over time. So a serial assessment of mitochondrial copy number levels is really in the future study.
Yes. And given the varying levels of heteroplasmy across tissues, particularly in the brain and blood, is blood-derived mitochondrial DNA a reliable source for your conclusions?
I think it's a very important question. But unfortunately, there is a little study to investigate the correlation between the blood mitochondrial copy number level and other tissue, including brain. But some study demonstrate a nice correlation between the blood mitochondrial DNA copy number level and tissue mitochondrial RNA expression in non-blood tissues. So I think it's a very important issue, and we need to investigate further about the mechanistic link between the blood mitochondrial copy number and brain mitochondrial function or mitochondrial copy number in the brain tissue in patients with Parkinson's disease.
Yes, definitely. Should be very interesting to see if there is a strong correlation. Were GBA or APOE statuses investigated in your PD population?
I think it's a very important question because the two genes are very closely related to the dementia in Parkinson's disease and other neurodegenerative disorders. As I said, unfortunately, we had a very small sample size. And when we stratified our study samples according to the GBA status and APOE status, the statistical power was not enough to calculate true effect of the mitochondrial copy number in the development of Parkinson's disease and other symptomatology. I think it should be done in the future study, and I expect that there is some interesting findings when we stratified our study samples according to the GBA and APOE. And our future study may include interaction between the GBA and mitochondrial copy number or APOE status and mitochondrial copy number levels. I think it's a very important issue.
Yeah, maybe something related and something mechanistic between these genes and mitochondrial DNA. Yes. So do you foresee further studies like yours emphasizing mitochondrial DNA copy number as a potential biomarker in Parkinson's disease?
Yes, we hope that mitochondrial copy number levels may be the potential biomarker in the diagnostics and prognostics in Parkinson's disease. So we hope that we continue to investigate the mitochondrial DNA copy number in the future study and validate our findings And we hope that we develop a useful biomarker for Parkinson's disease using mitochondrial DNA copy number.
Yes. And what is the clinical applicability of having a biomarker for Parkinson's disease, Dr. Chan?
That will be our final goal, because we are developing many kinds of biomarkers for Parkinson's disease. I think the blood biomarker is very important for us because it's very accessible and very easy to obtain from our patient. And our patient have no negative feeling about the blood sampling compared to other CSF studies or other studies. This study used the blood samples, and if we develop the blood biomarkers using a mitochondrial copy number, it can contribute to the diagnostics in Parkinson's disease. Because although we developed several biomarkers, we still have a certain level of misdiagnosis rate for the diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. And furthermore, in terms of prognostics, for example, development of dementia, development of late motor complication, development of motor symptoms, can develop these blood biomarkers using mitochondrial DNA. And this will be the very nice, very useful biomarker for the prognostics of Parkinson's disease in the future, I hope.
We hope. And what are your next steps in this field?
We are continuing to study mitochondrial DNA and nuclear DNA. Next step will be to investigate gene-gene interaction between mitochondrial DNA copy number or mitochondrial genes with nuclear DNA. As I said, we know the very important causal mutation for Parkinson's disease, and we know the more than 90 genetic variation related to the sporadic Parkinson's disease. But there has been a little study about the interaction between a nuclear gene and mitochondrial gene. So we hope we can study the gene interaction between nuclear and mitochondrial genes. And as I said, we are conducting next step genetic studies to develop these genetic findings as new blood biomarkers. We hope to use more large size of a sample to validate our findings and hope to develop a new blood biomarker for Parkinson's disease patients in the future.
And this is amazing. It's a completely interesting field. And it's easy to take a blood for our patients, although it's a little bit expensive nowadays. But hopefully things are going to be easier, don't you think?
Absolutely, you're right. I agree, yeah.
Thank you, Professor Chong, for your time with us. And have a nice day.
Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed the conversation about this paper, you can further your experience with continuing medical credits, or CMEs. You can find the link to the journal CME course for this paper within the episode description on the MDS website. Journal CME is planned and implemented in accordance with the accreditation requirements of the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education, ACCME. The International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society is accredited by the ACCME to provide a continuing medical education for physicians. The International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society designates this education activity for a maximum of 1 AMA PRA Category 1 credits. The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society or their affiliated journals.